Welcome to Walking with God, Pat Barry and Jeff Quinto's podcast, where Pat and Jeff talk about their walk with Christ.
My name is Jeff Quinto.
And my name is Pat Barry. Every few weeks, Jeff and I get together and talk about our walk with Jesus Christ. This week, we are continuing a discussion that we actually started last week on cheap grace versus costly grace, using Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, as sort of a guideline. Jeff, you wanna read what our basis was for this?
I'd be happy to. Reading now from The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, this following quote encapsulates the ideas in the first part of the book. I read from The Cost of Discipleship. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. It is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life. It is grace because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it costs God the life of his Son. Ye were bought at a price. And what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace because God did not reckon his Son to be too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up to us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. Holy cow, that's a mouthful, isn't it?
That is a mouthful. There's a lot there. And I know when we started this discussion last week, we began with something that I had heard. I had read. It was an interview with Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he was asked how the Nazis rose in Germany, and he said, cheap grace. And so that's how we got into this. And we've been thinking about this, and you've been reading different things, listening to different things to try to get a little bit more in depth of just what is cheap grace? What is costly grace?
Yeah, we talked about it last week. We kind of opened the door to this, and it's given us a lot to think about, a lot to talk about between Pat and I. You know, we have some scriptures that point to this idea of costly grace, and one of which is Luke 9:23, which reads, "Then he said to them all," that is, Jesus says to them all, "whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Wait a minute. I thought this was going to be easy.
Right.
I want to be rich and famous and popular and a Christian. And here he's saying this, quite something different. He's saying, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me, follow Jesus. That's a pretty harsh teaching, isn't it?
It is a harsh teaching, and it's true. To me, I take a look at the place that we're at now and the people that I run across, and sometimes, not that I'm perfect, but I'm thinking in society, wow, have things always been like this? And this quote by Bonhoeffer and just the scripture tells me, yeah, people have probably been like this, even in the time of Christ, where, you know, people love the idea of a Savior, don't like the idea so much of a Lord. Maybe they like one part of the Bible, not the other part of the Bible. So, you know, I'm just going to ignore that part of the Bible and concentrate on this part of the Bible.
Do you know somebody famous did exactly that? Thomas Jefferson wrote his own Bible.
Yes.
And he took out the parts he didn't like and accentuated the parts he did like. And I guess that was his way of dealing with this. It's our way of dealing with it. Actually, it speaks to the times, doesn't it? It speaks to the times because we feel like our times are so unusual that the things that we consider bad happening in our times are like, this is just horrible. It's never happened before. It's unprecedented that we've gone to the worst place, the worst thing. And you know what? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe this is the human condition played out writ large. And, you know, we have this. Now, we have a way. We have a way to find salvation. We have a way to a better life. But it's a hard way. You know, in John 6, we read, "On hearing it, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?'" You see, so much of this is a hard teaching. And that's maybe the important thing about cheap grace versus costly grace. It is a hard thing, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I think it's human nature to say that. And I think it's even human nature to to question, hey, can I do this? Do I want to do this?
Yeah, do I want to do this? That's a good question, actually. I think that's a better question than most, because of course, I want all the good things that I know that Christ can deliver. I want to have eternal life. But all these things that I'm supposed to do, wait a minute, I want the easy way.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, and I think we're all like that a bit, aren't we? There's a great quote in The Cost of Discipleship that that says, "For faith is only real when there is obedience, never without it. And faith only becomes faith in the act of obedience." Now think about that for a minute. Do we want to be obedient? As you just said, Pat, a second ago, you said, you know, we want to have a Savior, but we don't want a Lord. In other words, we want somebody to save us, but we don't want anybody to control us. We don't want to have these rules. We want to make up our own rules, you know, as people do today. And there's the last line of the book of Judges says, "And in that time there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes."
Yeah.
That's where we live today. That was whatever that was, 3,300 years ago, and it's the same today. Everybody wants to do what's right in their own eyes. They have their own truth, and there can't be any absolute truth because everybody gets to make up the truth as they go along.
Right.
As to how it satisfies themselves, how it pleases themselves, that's what everybody's doing. And we think it's so unusual. We think, oh my gosh, this world is falling apart, but yet it was the same thing 3,300 years ago in the time of the judges. We don't actually change. And we have this idea that here we have Jesus, who is our Savior, who asks us to be obedient. He tells us in order to have his salvation, we need to be obedient. Now, we know that there's grace. We know that there's grace through faith. We know that. But there's an expectation that we would be obedient.
And yes.
And that obedience will allow us to live a better life right here, right now. You know, we talk about sin. You know, so often in this life, we're punished by our sins, not for our sins. In other words, our sin causes its own penalty right here in this time. And so the Bible is pushing us, God is pushing us to a better place. He wants us to be in a better, happier, healthier place. But that place requires obedience. You know, in the Great Commission, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you to the end of the age." Well, you know that third sentence there, it says, teaching them all that I have commanded you. It doesn't say teaching them all I have suggested to you.
Right.
Jesus doesn't make suggestions. He makes commands. And he makes commands because he loves us and because he wants us to be different. He wants us to be different. He wants us to be better. But we fight it, don't we?
Absolutely. And I think that's human nature, because it is a difficult thing to do. If we were to go, like we've said, we're all in, and you and I, we are all in. And you know, it's a daily improvement, because when you go all in, that's like the first step, okay? And now the rest of your life, you are going to be allowing God to improve you, hopefully on a daily basis, because it is a difficult thing. When you look at all the portions of our lives that have to be turned over to Jesus, saying, okay, take this part of my life, and some are easier than others. And he knows that. He understands that. He knows there's going to be strongholds. We keep coming back to him in obedience. We keep coming back to him asking for grace, asking for the obedience ourselves. And it's kind of a circle that goes around. But if we get stuck in a faith that we choose, not a faith of the Bible, you understand what I'm saying? Something that we say, like I was talking about earlier, oh, I like this part of Scripture, I don't like that part of Scripture, so I'm just going to ignore that part of Scripture. Bad things happen. That's cheap grace. You can't do faith that way successfully. And ultimately, you're going to make yourself miserable, because that's not the way we were supposed to be. God wants us to be dependent on him, and he will show us the way. It's not always, as I said, easy, and it's not always immediate too. And I think that's another reason why it isn't easy, because human beings, we want immediate gratification, but it isn't always going to be immediate gratification. It's a step-by-step process, a daily process to go to God, you be obedient, and he will show you the way.
Absolutely. You know, it's the idea of sanctification. Sanctification is this continual improvement that we're meant to do. We are meant to do with the help of Jesus Christ to improve, to be better than we were. We're also meant to be apart from the world. We're not meant to be part of the world. We're meant to be a beacon of hope, an ambassador for Christ that is different than the world. You know, I see so often in the Christian church today that it tries to connect with the politics of the day. It tries to be popular, in my estimation, following certain precepts and popular things. And we're meant to be different than that. We're meant to be above that and different. And we're not meant to be in the fray of politics, in my opinion. We're meant to be in a different place. We're meant to be headed toward a different place and not allying ourselves with politicians, whether they be left or right or center or whatever they might be. We are not meant to do that. We're meant to be different. We're meant to be set apart. And that will head us to a better place. And as we go to that better place, people will follow us. They'll see us and they will follow us. Now, we're meant to do it in love. We're not meant to do it with some sort of using scripture as a weapon or using or being part of certainly politics. We're meant to be different. We're meant to lead to a better place and lead others along the way with us.
Absolutely. I can't remember if it was it was an older famous preacher. I can't remember if it was D.L. Moody or Chesterton or one of the preachers who said, one man will read the Bible and 100 people will read the man. Isn't that good? I heard that. I thought, ooh, you know what? And I'll tell you what, that really is true. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we can keep in mind, especially, you know, especially it seems that we're getting more and more separated. There's more anxiety in the world. More anxiety even between neighbors, as you know. Maybe one flies one flag, one flies a different flag. If you know, understanding, you know, one neighbor is on the left, another neighbor is on the right, and it's gotten so contentious. And you know, maybe you see people in your own neighborhood or that used to be friends or who you work with as practically enemies. Well, what did Jesus tell us about enemies? He said, pray for your enemies, love your enemies. And one person reads the Bible, 100 people read the man. So if you can show love towards someone that you vehemently disagree with, that's Jesus walking among us. That is being a Christian. And again, I'm not saying this is easy. It's going to be difficult, but that's the role that he calls us to do.
That's right. And he calls us to be obedient to all of the things he said, not just some of the things, but all the things. And, you know, we are meant to be set apart. I say that again and again because, you know, as Paul tells us, our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here on earth. And so we are meant to be set apart, and we need to judge ourselves. We need to look at ourselves and say, okay, I'm holding myself out as a Christian here. I'm holding myself out as an ambassador for Christ. How should I be? How should I be? Should I be vehement in my opinion? Should I be loud in my what I say, or should I be gentle? Should I be gentle and lead people? As you said, the one man reads the Bible, 100 people read the man. People read us all the time. They read us because we proclaim ourselves to be Christians. That puts us into, in my opinion, a special responsibility. We are not meant to be like other people. We're not meant to hold ourselves up as being better somehow, because I can speak for myself, I'm not. But what we are meant to do is we're meant to be trying. We're meant to be working through this sanctification, this continuous improvement in ourselves, working hard to improve ourselves in a way that would honor Jesus by everything that we do. And that's little things that we might do. It's also big things that we might do. It's helping people. It's not just talking about Christianity. It's about being a Christian. You know, we learn from James that faith without works is dead. It doesn't mean that we're saved by works. What it means is that the works are a reflection, our response to our salvation. And so it's just normal that we would help people, that we would help people that nobody else would help, that we would help people without asking for anything in return, that we would help people in unusual circumstances. We would help them. We wouldn't just say, well, I'm going to pray for you that things will be better. If we have it in our power to help them, honestly, we need to help them. We need to help them in a way that honestly helps them. And it doesn't matter whether anybody sees it or not. And it's probably better if nobody sees it. If the things we do, nobody sees, because we are working toward satisfying and honoring an audience of one. And the audience in one can see us in everything we do. It can see us when we're out on display in public and can see us in our most private moments. And that's what we're meant to do. And I think that's what this whole obedience thing is about. We're meant to have obedience because we're meant to be different and we're meant to be striving. That is, we're meant to be improving as we go. That's what we're, our life is meant to be, a continuous improvement until we meet Jesus. And then hopefully he looks at us and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And hopefully he overlooks all the things that we did that were not quite so good.
That's why we're relying on grace. But, I think about this, it really is a difficult thing. And the good thing is he knows how difficult it is going to be for us. And that's why it is costly. It may cost us. You know, it may cost us different things. It may cost us monetarily. It may cost time. It just may cost us in a sense that we have to give things up that we like that maybe aren't the best for us. It may cost us in the sense that we have to be in some uncomfortable situations to be a witness for Christ. Whatever he calls us to do, we need to be open to doing it. And that's why it's very costly. Well, it cost Bonhoeffer's life eventually.
Yeah, it did. And as we look at this, there's a quote from G.K. Chesterton. Now, Chesterton, if you don't know, was a Christian writer, a theologian in the early part of the 20th century, the late part of the 19th century. And he said this, which I think is poignant to what we're talking about today. And it is, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been tried and found difficult and left untried. Isn't that the best? It's not been found wanting. It's been tried and found difficult and left untried. That's G.K. Chesterton's take on this. And I think it speaks to what we just talked about here. This obedience is a hard thing. We don't want to do it. And it's asking us to do things that seem to us to be unnatural. Yet they are the most natural because they lead to life. The things that we are doing will lead to death. They will lead to death and they will not improve the world. Yet the things that are talked about for us to do, the commandments that we are given are meant to bring us to life and bring others along with us to this great life, to this salvation that is waiting for us. You know, Pat and I started this whole project of this podcast on a quote, actually, by C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis was a big fan of G.K. Chesterton. And so they fit together nicely here. And so this quote from C.S. Lewis is, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. See, that's Pat and Mai's belief, that we are all in for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have seen, through the witness of our lives and the witness of others and looking into this and praying about it, that the fact is that Jesus is real, that Christianity is not false. It is in fact true. It is 100% true, and therefore it is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. And I pray that you will look at this as we do, that your Christianity will go from wherever it is to being more important, to being the most important thing in your life as we all head toward Jesus Christ as we go. And join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for Bonhoeffer, for the teaching that endures beyond his life, that teaches us today the effect that he has even today in talking about this idea of costly grace versus cheap grace. The cheap grace, of course, being easily gotten, easily lost, and the costly grace being much harder to get and not easily lost. Lord, may we come toward you. May we follow your commandments. May we be your true disciples in every way. May we head toward you as we go, and may we lead others toward you. In Jesus' holy and mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Amen.